Preacher to present it, and I know you feel like you've been in Luke 2 more than you could handle, but Luke 2, I want you to look at something. You thought you were through with Luke 2, I bet you did. Luke 2, chapter 2, Luke, verse 13 and 14, we've read it several times, preached it several times. But that resurrection he's talking about is the finishing of him coming to this earth to be born, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he took that blood, he ascended to heaven and took the blood that he shed and he paid the price of sin. And that is the goodwill towards man. Amen. Now he says here, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, looking in this world, most people in this world do not have peace. So what he's presenting here is that there's the possibility, the opportunity for this peace and this goodwill toward man, mankind. And so I want you to think about that, because if you're saved this morning, you don't need to box up that goodwill and put it in the attic just like it's gone, because Christmas season is over. I believe that's part of the why the spirit of Christmas, even for unbelievers, why it's a different atmosphere around us during Christmas time, because there's a lot of goodwill that people are showing towards each other. And you and I that are believers, we have goodwill within us because of the second birth, because of our new birth. The Bible does teach in John 3 that we must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because of his birth, there's an opportunity for us to have the new birth, which is the goodwill received in us, within us, and then we're able to allow that good works, that goodwill toward others to flow out of our lives. If you're mean and cruel and rude and went back to your old nasty self after Christmas is over, you must not be born again. There must be something missing in your life. But if you say, well, I am saved, preacher, I'm just ornery and I need to get right with the Lord, well, that'd be a great thing to do. So that you can go forward with this challenge I want to give this morning. If you don't like this challenge, you don't have to accept it. This is not mandatory from the church. It's just something I have had on my heart really a couple of years. But I want to challenge you with it. Because the title of my message is pretty much Goodwill Within Us. But this is what I'm calling a goodwill challenge. Not the store up the street there, but I'm talking about you showing forth goodwill out of your life as a believer. This world still needs what everybody thought we needed and what they heard, and even the secular radio stations and stuff will play Hark the Herald Angel and things like that. They need that gospel message 366 days. You thought I was going to miss it, didn't you? It's a leap year. Got one extra day. But he said, preacher, it's just too hard to do all that. Well, I'm sorry about all that, but I want to challenge you with taking the 25th of every month this year, all the way through November, and then you can look back at on the greatest goodwill ever shown to man on December 25th, and do some of these things quickly. I want to challenge you within the scripture of goodwill toward man. How about goodwill? I have the goodwill received in me. But I'm not to be a Dead Sea Christian and just receive and receive and receive. I should allow what Christ has done in me to flow out of me. And the law of Christ and the teachings of Christ and his word are what our good works are out amongst the darkness of this world, amongst the lost people in this world. Just basically tell you this. If you're no different than the ones in the world, then tell me what the difference is between you and the world. There is none. And if there's no works of Christ manifested in us, flowing out from us, then there's something desperately missing in this world. The light is missing in the darkness. The salt missing amongst this earth, amongst this world. Here's a couple of them. You can jot them down if you like. Give to someone. You gave a lot during Christmas time, no doubt. You probably gave more than you ever thought you could or do. But you say, well, preacher, I can't give no more. You take up three offerings every time we come over here. How about give to someone but not money? Now I know you're listening. Can you make anything? Can you bake anything? You know, we got shut-in ladies that used to bake and give and do and serve through the church that many of you have never met, you've never seen their face. Every once in a while, obscurely, you'll hear a little card read through the church here. You don't know those people and what they invested in. Now they're shut in, they're shut out. They're not allowed or able to come to be with us here. And maybe you could take that day and say, no, I'm going to make a phone call to one of those shut-in ladies on our church directory and take that 25th and do something a little different outside of that. Maybe you want to make a craft or something or do something special like that. I just read to you a while ago that this lady, Miss Dyer, here in the corner of our property here, she gets excited and she got blessed in her heart from a birthday bag that had lotions and denture adhesives, hallelujah, amen, and stuff like that. Just simple things that encouraged her. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Then it says, press, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. This is something that if you give, you'll get back. I'm not telling you to do that, but I promise you this. If you just did and gave and worked and never got anything out of it, people would get weary and well-doing real quick. They'd get tired. I'm going to tell you, I'm just blessed and thankful I can be a funnel in the kingdom of God and allow God to flow through my life and to give unto other people. So make something, bake something. You can use real money if you want to. Buy something, buy a cup of coffee, do something. You can be DoorDash. Be the spiritual version of DoorDash. Just go get something and drop it off. Amen. Now, Miss Dyer's got a weird system in there. You can't really go in their house and stuff. There's just a lot of things in the background behind that. But we drop off our drugs, our contraband. We drop off our stuff on top of her dryer there. We put the meals. Every time we have a meal here, we usually take a meal to her. And sometimes people drop stuff off over there. And when she goes out to go to the doctor's or somewhere, she sees that little bag or that little goodie right there, and it blesses her heart. How about taking that spirit and doing something with it throughout the year for somebody else? The Bible charges us that are rich in this world, that we not be high-minded in those riches in 1 Timothy 6:17, not to trust in uncertain riches, but to give, the Bible says, to be able to give and do it richly and enjoy what God's given in our life, be ready to distribute. There's a challenge there in our scripture. Not only to give to someone, but how about forgive someone? Now, I know that all churches need this. They need to forgive one another. And it's easy to say that you have forgiven someone, but you don't forget it. You always bring it up. Listen, the real ability to forgive and forget belongs to God Almighty. And I know we are limited on what we can do, but you can put it in God's hands and ask God to help you. Help me to forgive them, releasing myself and them, and no bitterness and no more guilt. And I'll let be forgiven and gone and under the blood, and you can rejoice. Because the Bible says this commandment, Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And maybe you have held that back so long, I'm challenging you with a day. Maybe you can call somebody up. It might be a family member that you didn't even speak to this Christmas. You stayed mad and upset and bitter and distant one more year. I'm challenging you. Forgive somebody. Get it forgiven between you and the Lord. I'll tell you this. Most of the time, the people we're bitter at don't even know we're bitter. They don't even know it's at them. And we are the one that's full of that poison as it eats us up. So forgive somebody. Maybe you can just say, I'll tell you this. This is just prevalent and relevant. Even if you think you did nothing wrong, just say, I'm sorry that I have offended you. It's obvious that our relationship has offenses in it. There is a breakdown. There is a breach. There is a hurt. I'm sorry. I want it reconciled. And please forgive me and try to let that be restored. That is a releasing, forgiving, freeing thing to be able to do that. I've had people come up to me and say, preacher, I want to apologize to you about something. I'm sorry about such and such. And I never even knew it existed. But they're the ones living in the bondage. But when they got that thing right, I didn't go, well, bless God, I didn't know y'all had something mad. Why were you mad at me for? What did I do? Thank God I didn't ride that tricycle, amen. I just said, well, brother, I didn't know nothing was wrong, but man, no need to worry about being forgiven, man. Let's make it right. Let's be right. Let's have fellowship, amen, and that relationship. The Bible commands us also to encourage people, to comfort people, to edify other people. The Bible says this, This is a powerful scripture. Some of the problems you've been through in your life, the storms and things he was singing about, there's a purpose, there's a reason you've been through them. And when God comforts you in those storms, you are not to just store that up. There is a purpose greater than yourself. The Bible says, blessed be God, 2 Corinthians 1:3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. The comfort you received, you may need to go to someone else this year. Maybe pick that day and say, Lord, is there somebody? I've almost forgot about it. I've heard their prayer request 1,000 times. They've been in the hospital for months, so they've gone through this for months, and I've not even thought about it. It's just my own little world, my own little troubles, and I haven't even thought about them. Maybe take that 25th day and say, Lord, I want to pray for them. I'm going to call them. I'm going to encourage them. Or I'm going to tell them, hey, I want you to know, I've been through what you've been through. You know, there's some of you that have lost husbands. You've lost children. You've had losses that others, no one can relate to. Some of you have had losses that there are just very few that can really connect to. God did not do that, allow that for no purpose. If he comforted you in it, go comfort someone else in it. There'll be someone to come across your pathway, no doubt. There will be a tribulation, a trial in their life that will come. And if you received comfort, I remember as a pastor for many years when I was much younger and my hair was much more red than it is now, I did not understand losing loved ones. When people in my church lost a husband or a wife or a sister or a brother, man, I never could relate. I mean, I never had that happen to me, really. And then a small amount of time in one decade, in small amount of bracket of 7 years, I lost my mom, my dad, and my sister, and my brother-in-law. I lost a lot of people close to me. And God helped me to understand and relate to those who have had those losses. And I have shared with people, other preacher friends of mine who lost their loved ones, I said, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. And I wasn't just blowing smoke. I wasn't just puffing and saying words. It was real because I had been through that and I received that comfort. And I want you to know, praying for you, brother, I understand what it's like to go where you are, what you've been going through. It would be so sad, so empty, so vain if this was just happening in life and there was no other purpose to it. But there's a way you can glorify God by the comfort you've received. Go comfort somebody else with that. Go be a person of edification and encouragement. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. Paul was challenging them. You're already doing it. Keep on doing it. Many of you may already be doing these things, but I know that the Christmas spirit can easily kind of just drift away. When you packed Frosty up, amen, he's gone. You put your angels up, put your tree up. That should not be, amen, this spirit of goodwill within us because it was towards us and we received it should go out. I'm not trying to challenge you to do it every day of the year. Just say, think about the 25th. And you can say, preacher, I'm not playing this game with you. I'm not going to participate in this. And that's up to you. You don't have to. But I'm going to try to start doing that. I'm going to do it the 25th. And it may not be to somebody here sitting in this pew. It may not be to a shut-in. It could even be to a stranger. It could be someone that I really hardly even know. Anybody ever been through the experience in the drive-thru at a restaurant where somebody paid for somebody's food and they kept paying it forward? Y'all ever been through that? Nobody? Some of you have. That's a powerful experience. And he rolled up there and he said, man, when the greed and the covetousness just flows through your soul, man, I wish I would have ordered more food. You know that's what happens to sometimes. I go over and say, hey, got my little drink today. I got my little Diet Dr. Pepper. And he said, oh, it's been paid for. Oh, good gracious. Wish I'd have got a combo number 10. Amen. But that's a powerful little thing. Somebody had it laid on their heart, and they did it. And some people have paid $150 to $300 sometimes. Paid through it for 5 and 10 people down through the line. Sometimes it's just the person behind them, and sometimes that person decides, I'm going to pay the one behind them. And then somebody might break the chain of it, but whatever. But it's just interesting to see things like that take place and how it can lift up the spirit of the day. You go through the whole other day thinking, man, that little event there, getting my chicken nuggets for free, when it just blessed my soul. I've had such a great day. Isn't it amazing how much can mess up our day and how much can change our day and tweak that day and make it a little bit better, a little bit brighter? Just think about things like this. I want to challenge you just real quick to visit somebody. I mentioned this already, but Jesus taught his disciples. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me meat. Matthew 25:35. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. And then later, verse 37, they answered this and said, when saw we thee and hungered? When did we see you hungry, Jesus, and fed you and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So we're able to visit someone. It might be a widow. It might be an orphan. It may be somebody else. It may be somebody who's going through sickness and affliction. It may be somebody who's gotten out of church, and that's going to happen. And maybe you can try to restore them and get them back in. You may not be able to fix it. You may not be able to restore them. You may not be able to breach all the things that are broken in the relationships of someone in the church family. But you can show kindness, and you can visit them and say, well, I'm praying for you, and I love you. I went to visit someone in the prison last week. Unfortunately, I hadn't had to go there in a long time. But I went in there to visit. Boy, there's so many people coming and going to see family members in there. And I'll tell you this, as I observed waiting for my appointment, it was people from all walks of life coming and going to visit family and friends and people in that prison. And we can do it unto him when we do that. Challenge you with this, to honor someone. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now sometimes we honor people on certain specific days, like Veterans Day. We honor our veterans here at our church, and that's important, and we will do that. How about taking something and say, you know what, this person's been a blessing to me, or this person served the Lord faithfully in church for 50 plus years, or this person's just been a great influence in my life spiritually or some other way, or somebody you might work with. And they have just always been there. They've always took time to train me and help me and give me advice at work or at school. And I'm just going to take that day, the 25th, and honor them. When you honor someone out of the blue like that and show them that you appreciate that, and it is due them because they mean something to you, it is an act of goodwill within us towards somebody else. This world has so much darkness in it. There's very little light. Jesus was the light of the world, is the light of the world, and when he left, he commanded us that we are also to be the light of the world. And there's a lot of darkness in the background to be able to be that light. Honor somebody. We honored Sister Renee's grandfather a couple years ago. Served in 3 military branches. Fought in 3 wars, 2 or 3 wars. World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He's 100 years, almost 100 years old now. We were able to honor him. And the Adjutant General of South Carolina, Brother Jerry Ball, helped us establish it, get it together. When he heard about this man who served in 3 different branches, 3 different wars, he wanted to come meet him because he believed honor was due honor to that man. And he came to this service and gave him a special commendation. And listen, it may not be something on that high of a scale, but there are people out there that little bit of honor you may show them, that they care, that they're not just someone just passing away and don't matter to nobody. Somebody, a janitor at school, and everybody's looking at the principal or the teachers, the janitor. Maybe you could do something kind to someone, to encourage someone and give some respect to some people. And maybe the Lord will let your light shine and they can see Jesus in your life. And maybe you'll be able to share the gospel with them. Maybe you'll be able to tell them about the Lord's working in your life. The Bible teaches we are to pray for other people. If nothing else, the most important thing on the list is to pray for one another. You could take that day and say, Lord, I just want to pray for everybody I can think about the church. And what happened Sunday? What did the preacher say? How many were sick? And there were 40 people here, or 60 people at the church, and there was 100 people sick. That's the way it feels sometimes. And to be able to pray for those people and spend some time, as Paul admonished Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Have you ever prayed for your president? A lot of people mock our president. They make fun of him daily. They do. Godly people say they do. Godly, they say they're godly anyway. And I know I've laughed out loud. I have. My son showed me a video of Biden falling up the steps, and I laughed. But you know what? The sad thing is, I have probably laughed at him more than I've prayed for him. And I have prayed for him, but it's not been as much as I should have to intercede for all men, to pray for the souls of our leaders to be saved, to pray God would give good counsel in their life, or to God remove them from office and have mercy upon our land and that righteousness could exalt us again. But to pray for those who need supplies. That's what supplication means. Pray for needs in people's lives of what's going on. We have all kinds of prayer requests at this church. We have prayer requests on Sunday school and Sunday morning. We pray on Wednesday night prayer meeting time. There are other times that prayer requests are made, and the general public of people in the church, most of the time it goes in one ear and right out the other. Unless it's your need, you forget many people's needs. Take time to really think about praying for someone else. The Bible commands us in multiple places to pray one for another. And there is a lot of people sick connected to this church body that need physical healing. There are a lot of people who have had their hearts broken in the previous year before that, of losing a loved one or going through some kind of tragedy in their life. They're going through discouragement and depression, and they're challenged in so many ways. They could use a text from you. And I just want to let you know. I can't tell you, Brother Mike, I can't tell you how many times that has helped this preacher. Somebody out of the blue said, praying for you. Praying for you, brother. Love you, appreciate you, praying for you. There's been some days where it was just bad days, just a bad time or a bad 15 minutes that ruined the whole day. I'll let it ruin the whole day. And just struggling or discouraged or something, and somebody just come out of the blue there with something. It might even be a card that you would think luck would have it, but they actually sent it by the Spirit's leading, and it gets to the mailbox on that certain time. Maybe you mail that one on the 25th, and it gets there 2 weeks late, but right on time in God's eyes, and gets to them and helps them and encourages them, a word of goodwill toward men. We are to consider one another. The scripture says, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hebrews 10:24. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:44 to love your enemies. That's going to be the hardest part of this challenge. To love people that hate you, despitefully use you, that talk about you, that have slandered you or whatever it might be. And you may actually decide on that day, Lord, I can't bake them a cake because I'd probably put a stick of dynamite in it. But I'm not going to bake them a cake, but I'm gonna open up my heart, ask you to begin to prepare this bitterness. And I'm going to pray for that person who has despitefully used me. I'm going to do something kind. Maybe I can make a cake without cyanide or something in it. Maybe I can do something kind and do it without any ill will and just say goodwill towards that person from the goodwill you've sent into my life so that I could do this. I could let my light shine before me in Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a simple challenge. I wanted you to think about it. I've thought about it for a couple of years. You know, when the Lord sent his Son into this world, the only begotten, full of grace and truth, that John 3:16 and 17, where he sent him into the world, he didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. If we've received that gift and we just hold it in our bosom and we go through life 366 days in 2024 and no one ever sees any goodwill come out of our life, any goodwill of words and works and his will in our life, we have failed. We've missed it. If we've not let our light shine, we have not shared the gospel. We have not shared what the gospel does, how it converts and changes people's lives. We're missing out on a great opportunity. I'm not saying it's going to be Christmas in January, Christmas in February, every time the 25th. And you may have one of the most difficult days you've had, trying to do something above and beyond showing goodwill to someone, especially if it's someone who's hurt you or someone who's despitefully treated you. Or maybe you're going to do something by faith out of a small amount of budget or money
and you're going to do something special for somebody else, and God may bless you in return to be able to do that. I'm going to tell you, this goodwill spirit is already gone. Have you been out there? It's already gone. Shame on us as believers for packing all that up. And on the 26th, it's back to business. You know what the Father's business should be? Goodwill towards us, goodwill toward men, goodwill within us, showing out these good works towards others around us, that the light of the gospel would reach the darkness of this world. Just a thought, just a challenge. That 25th could come. He said, I'm going to do something special at work. And I'm going to give donuts to everybody. Although donuts are not real good. Everybody's trying to lose weight right now. But whatever it might be, celery sticks, if that's up to your... And have a track or have a little note. So, hey, I just appreciate you guys. Thank you for helping us through that last year. Or all the things. You just want to let you know that I didn't pack up my Christmas spirit in December. It's still flowing from my life because God's been so good to me. I just want to do a little something nice for everybody. That's the stuff that's missing. It's already gone. It's already been packed up. It's already been put away. I just want to challenge you. Maybe we can not allow that to happen. Maybe we can unpack it. And maybe it's too much to handle all month long. But maybe you can say, Lord, I'm going to focus on this day coming, this 25th. And I'm going to do something real different, special. I'm going to focus on someone. Maybe someone that's not in my little normal group. Maybe there's a stranger that'll cross my path. Maybe I'll stop in a room at the hospital and knock on a door, someone I don't even know, and see if I can show some goodwill towards man. Father, we thank you for this, these scriptures, these challenges. We pray, Lord, that you would work in my heart with it, Lord, as I can expect our people, Lord, to pick up a challenge that I'm not interested or concerned with picking up. Lord, I don't know how long it'll last. Many people join the gym and they're done by February. Many people start diets, Lord, and they're gone in just a few weeks. But God, we need this. Our world needs this. They need to see that goodwill within us, the works of Christ manifested in our life. They need this salt. They need this light. They need this love and this forgiveness and this compassion and these fruits of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, we might could focus on distributing them and letting them flow from our life more than just at Christmas season. But let it be a Christian season, Lord, that goes on. I pray for Brother Mike, Lord, that you'll use him in the remainder of this service. Thank you for allowing him, Lord, to come by here again. Use these songs. Lord, you may use them. Somebody may get a song later on and play it later on in the week. Later on in the year, and it may encourage them and help them, Lord, to go on another mile. And I pray, God, that you'll do that and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mike, come on. microphone on. We got some visitors here this morning, and we don't want to assume that you know the Lord as your Savior. But I'm going to tell you, if you've been walking without the Lord, it's going to be a long, lonely year if you make it without Him. It's so much better to have Him walking by your side in the new year and turning your life over to Him, trusting Him as your Savior, repenting of your sins, and trusting everything in His care. What a beautiful little song. Brother Mike wrote most of these songs. I'm assuming, I think it just might be a few songs he don't write, but God has given him a gift to write. If you ever listen to some of these words, I mean, this ain't just fluff and puff. There's some powerful doctrine and words in there that mean something to your life. And I need to be reminded He's going to take care of me. He's going to bring me through. Because the devil's always trying to whisper, you ain't going to make it. Oh, this will be the last one. Well, this got you now. You're going down this time. As she plays, maybe you need to come get saved. Maybe you need to come to get some strength and some assurance. Maybe you need to come get some comfort in the storms that you're facing. If you haven't prayed in a while, some of you haven't been to church in a while. I was teasing some, I hadn't seen them all year, but you know, some of you you missed a lot of services last year. Well, I'm glad the Lord don't change. I'm glad He never leaves or forsakes us. And He's there waiting on us. Well, if you come to this old-fashioned altar and kneel down and pray, He'll meet. Listen, sometimes He meets us halfway, almost 99% of the way. He's waiting. He'll come and comfort your heart. Maybe there's some burdens you need to cast off today. Does anybody here say, preacher, pray for me? I'm not saved. I don't know this fellowship. I don't know this walk, this way. I'm under conviction. Last year was so much junk going on. I'm still ready to bury that year and go into a new year. How about starting it in Christ? Anybody? Anybody here say, preacher, pray for me? Boy, last year had so many trials and troubles and problems. And boy, I know many of you went through some heavy, heavy storms. We lost some precious people in our church last year. And some of them, we weren't expecting it. Had no idea to anticipate it. Yet God took them. But they were saved and they're believers and they're in heaven. And we know we're going to see them again one day. And that's our blessed hope. That heart was broken. The hurt was real and pain was real. Maybe you need to afresh today. One more time. Thank God for one more time. Come on down to the altar and pray. Pray with somebody. Or somebody could come and join and pray with you. This world is cold. It's hard. And I'm glad He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He walks through us every way, every step of the way. There are people that took their lives last year that felt like there was no hope. And there is always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always hope. He can forgive your sins. He can help you in your situation. I encourage you to turn your life over to Jesus. Don't keep putting it off. You've got burdens and problems. He's the burden bearer. Down to a place and sit on the front pew if you're not able to bend and pray and cast your care before Him. Father, I pray You speak to the hearts of our people. Lord, I know, Lord, unless Your Spirit moves, there's no work that will be done. And we ask You to do that work under the surface in the hearts. And follow them home with the message of song and the scripture and Your Spirit. You'll deal with anybody here that may not be saved, Lord, amongst us. For that person that's carrying that heavy load and they just will not turn it over to You, I ask You, God, to soften their heart, work in their heart and their lives. Pray You'll help our families that make up this church, Lord, as we go through this new year. Been many, many signs of strong winds and some cold weather coming in spiritually, Lord. And I ask You, God, to help us in these days ahead. Help us to look to You and lean upon You. Pray You'll bless Brother Mike, Sister Wendy, Lord, as they travel, as they go and they work. You know, they work their jobs during the week and travel and sing. I ask You, God, to anoint them and use them, Lord, and help them, Lord, as they go to share this good news, this gospel message. Lord, as they spread it in sermon and song, Lord, I ask you, God, to bless it and use it. Provide their needs, Lord, and help them, Lord, and give him the desires of his heart. And I pray, Lord, you help him with this new project, these new songs he'll be doing, Lord, and that you'll use them for your glory and honor.